Good morning. Welcome to our family room. We've thought about sharing from this room before, but we're going to give it a shot today. I'm open to feedback. Let us know if you like the family room. So first things first, last week I talked about Mother Teresa. Most all of the information I got was from this excellent book called Seven Women by Eric Metaxas. Highly recommend it, not just for Mother Teresa, but for the other six women in the book as well. This week, I'm going to be talking primarily from a book by Bob Greene. You may remember he was a journalist here in Chicago. Well, he tells the story, and he entitles it Once Upon a Town. There's a small Midwestern town, middle of Nebraska. If you've driven down Interstate 80, you've either driven by or driven through or had lunch there sometime. It's called North Platte. Just a small town, 12,000 people. And there was one woman at the beginning of World War II. She's 26 years old. Her name is Ray Wilson. She's a store clerk, just an ordinary person. She had an idea. She thought that since the soldier trains were coming through that town and they would stop there to refuel, et cetera, whatever they did, I think it was actually water for a steam engine, that they could do something for the war cause. One person, one idea. In a few minutes, I'll be back to tell you more about that incredible story. Last week, I mentioned to you that there's this young man that works at the supermarket right down the street here. His name's David. And just so it's clear, we record these on Friday. I try to make it seem like it's Sunday, but it's not. It's Friday. And so last Saturday, I tracked him down, and I wanted to videotape him, and I did. And I wish I got him without his mask on. And the reason I have to explain all that to you is because he was buying Mother's Day flowers, and that would have been rather confusing to you otherwise. But I tracked him down. And one of the things that really struck me was that it meant a lot to him that I wanted to videotape him, and he was more than happy to do it. I wish I got him with his mask off, but it's okay that his mask was on, because if you look, you can tell that he's smiling underneath his mask. And the other thing that stood out to me was that even though he blesses all these people, and you could tell the other employees, and they all get it why I was taping him, he's just an incredibly happy, energetic, positive person. But I realized by my doing that, I made him happy. It's just kind of the way it works, isn't it? So check out the video. Hey, I'm here with David. I tracked him down. I actually saw him buying some flowers. Who are you buying those flowers for?
For my mother, Mother's Day.
You know? Yeah, but
I do good.
I could have guessed. But so what would you say to everybody out there?
Smiling is so important, and staying positive just to keep this pandemic going around, which is always so depressing, everything out. But a smile can cheer up a lot of people. A lot of people need positivity. As long as you bring the energy through, they can do a lot of things for others. That's all. Thank you.
Welcome back. We're going to begin by praying today. And one of the things that I think all of us really want to do is make a difference. It doesn't get old, right? I mean, that's what most of us really want to do. As a matter of fact, on our Zoom Tuesday morning study, one of the gentlemen that was on board said, how can we make a difference when we're kind of cooped up at home? And I know it's a little bit more challenging, but we'll touch on that a little bit today. But we want to make a difference. So as we begin today, let's pray that God would show us how we can make a difference in our world. And it can start with one person. And our story today will really illustrate that well. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd speak to us from your word. I pray that you'd inspire us with this story from history. And Father, I pray that you would show us creatively how we can make a difference in our world today. We ask it in Jesus' name, for his kingdom's sake. Amen. So I mentioned that there was this 26-year-old woman, Ray Wilson, and she wrote a letter to the newspaper, the Daily Bulletin. It's defunct now. It doesn't exist anymore. But she said, I don't know how many people went to meet the trains when the troops went through our city on Wednesday, but those who didn't should have. To see the spirit and the high morale among those soldiers should certainly put some of us on our feet and make us realize we are really at war. We should keep this soldier morale at its highest peak. We can do our part. During the World War I, the Army and Navy mothers had canteens at our own depot. So she realized that it wasn't an original idea. There's some stuff that had happened right there at North Platte during World War I. Here's what she said. Why can't we, the people of North Platte and the other towns surrounding our community, start a fund and open a canteen now? I would be more than willing to give my time without charge to run this canteen. Now, one of the things she didn't know was how long the war would go on. She didn't realize it was going to last 4.5 years. Nobody knew it at that point. But she said, I will do this without pay. I want to mention this because I don't want to forget it. This was not a federally funded program. They got no outside funding. It was just the people of North Platte and some of the women's guilds in the area, and they just chipped in. And it's an amazing story. I should say this. They did receive some money from Washington, D.C. They received $5 from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. $5 from the President of the United States. He wanted to play his part because he heard what they were doing. What they said, what she goes on to say here in the newspaper is, we who met this troop train, which arrived about 5 o'clock, were expecting Nebraska boys. I like this. Naturally, we had candy, cigarettes. It was a different time, I suppose, and more. But we were very willing to give those things to the Kansas boys. That hadn't crossed their minds that it wasn't just going to be folks from Nebraska. There's going to be the enemy soldiers coming from Kansas. But they wanted to bless them too. She said, smiles, tears, and laughter followed. Appreciation showed on over 300 faces. An officer told me it was the first time anyone had met their train and that North Platte had helped the boys keep up their spirits. And she closes with this. I say, get back of our sons and other mothers' sons 100%. Let's do something and do it in a hurry. We can help this way when we can't help any other way. Wow. So what kind of response did she get? She got a good response. On Christmas night, there were 5 women that were out there. This was written just about a week earlier. But 5 women out on a holiday. That's how it started. That's how it officially started. So anybody could have done it. What's the Nike slogan? Just do it. A lot of larger towns could have, but they didn't. North Platte did it. I love when Jesus turned water into wine. And Mary, his mother, she's the one who kind of drags him into it. I love preaching on this. And what Mary says to the servants, first Jesus says, I really don't want to do it, Mom. And she just turns to the servants, and this is what she says. Do whatever he tells you. Best sermon ever. Short, sweet. I'm going to share a really brief sermon by Jesus in a little bit too. But whatever he tells you to do, that's it. That's all you have to do. What he tells you to do. So this woman got this idea. She shared it and she got people motivated. So what did they do? They started at 5 p.m. on Christmas. And they would be there from then on until the last train came through. And they had all kinds of stuff. It started with a cup of coffee. It started with apples and simple things. But it didn't take long before they got a lot of people involved. And they covered every train that came through, starting at 5 in the morning till the last train came through after midnight. This was secret information. But eventually, because troop trains, I mean, that's sensitive information. But eventually, the railroad, they knew. They knew what these women were doing. And so they had a code word for them. The coffee pot is on. And when they got the news the coffee pot is on, they knew they had a train coming through. And they had a pretty good idea of how many trains were coming through. They had fried chicken. They had pheasant sandwiches, pheasant and mayo sandwiches. I think I'm going to have a quote for you that talks about a guy that was so excited about that. But they had all kinds of stuff. This one woman tells a story about making angel food cakes. And to do it, you have to have eggs. But eggs were rationed. And they were running out of eggs. And they wanted to give the soldiers hard-boiled eggs. That was a treat for them. Because they had fake eggs in the military. So what did she do? She did turkey eggs. She said that they're about the size of like a little kid's football. But the egg whites were huge, but they're tough. She had to beat them for a half hour just to get them so that she could use them. But taste-wise, they were just the same. And in an angel food cake, it didn't matter. And she said that notes would come in. Letters would come in to the depot. And they would find the canteen. They would find out all the people that appreciated the cakes. And when they said it was an angel food cake, she knew that it was one that she had done. That meant so much to her. They made birthday cakes. Several accounts in the book where guys would come into the canteen and some woman would come up with this beautiful birthday cake. And they'd say, is it your birthday? And they'd say, no, it's not my birthday today. And then she'd say, well, it is today. Here's a cake. And they'd take it back on the train and they'd share it with other soldiers. Just amazing stuff. And this happened during a time of rationing. There were so many things that these women, and they're paying for it themselves, that were in short supply or they couldn't get. But they sacrificed their own for the soldiers. So some of you are thinking, so how many soldiers came through there? A few hundred, you know, a couple thousand. I did the math earlier today. Somewhere in the area of 3,500 soldiers. Every day, for over 4.5 years. Over 6 million servicemen and servicewomen came through there, and they served them all. But it wasn't just what they did, it's how they did it. I just want to share just some of the, this is a canteen record that was found. So Bob Green went to North Platte, and he interviewed people there. He went all over the country, and we're going to hear from some of those people as well. But contributions from the Moorhead group yesterday were 25 birthday cakes, 39 and a half dozen cupcakes, 149 dozen cookies, 87 fried chickens, 70 dozen eggs, 17 and a half quarts of salad dressing, 40 and a half dozen donuts, 20 pounds of coffee, 22 quarts of pickles, 22 pounds of butter, 13 and a half quarts of cream. 16 women from the Paxton community donated 52 dozen Easter eggs, 600 bottles of milk, 2,000 buns, 6 hams, 12 sheet cakes, 1 quart of chicken spread, 3 boxes of apples, and a partridge in a pear tree. I mean, it's just, it's endless what these people did. And what was behind it? I think it was just pure love. They served over 6 million men and women. So Bob Green went out to track down folks that were there in North Platte and also soldiers. And so he tells the account of this one woman. She's 23 years old. Her name was LaVon Kemper. And 23 years old. She said she was lonely. There were no men in town. Everybody that was her age had been shipped off. There were very unique times. She talks about her relationship with her father. Her mother had abandoned her. But she was one of the 5 women that was there on that Christmas night, and she never forgot it. But she tells the story of Elaine Wright. Elaine Wright was a little bit older woman, and she had a son in World War II. And I don't know that Elaine was at the canteen when she found out that her son died. But LaVon was there when Elaine came back. She took a couple of days off. And when she walked back into that canteen, you could have heard a pin drop. You could have heard a pin drop. There was a lot of hugs, and then she got to work. And this is what LaVon remembered. This is what Elaine said. These are the words that LaVon remembered her saying. I can't help my son, but I can help someone else's son. And she was there day after day. She said, I don't think she ever told those soldiers that came through that she'd lost her son. And she said, if anything, she was kinder and loved on those young men more than she had before. Amazing account. But they didn't just serve meals. They served love. That's what it was. That's why they made such a big impact. I mean, you think about it. It's just a meal, right? I mean, how big of a difference can a meal make for a soldier that's at war? So Bob Green tracked some guys down. One guy was up north of the cheese curtain, okay, up in Wisconsin. His name's Russ Fay, Greendale, Wisconsin. In 1944, he graduated from high school. They shipped him off immediately to Fort Sheridan here in the Chicago area. And I want to share some of his remembrances. He said he'd heard about North Platte in history class. He said, the train stops in North Platte and we see these women carrying baskets towards our car. It's daytime, it's hotter than blazes, and we can see that there's sandwiches and things in the baskets. And many of the soldiers at first, if they hadn't heard about it, they were like, so what do we owe you? And these women would just say, it's free. Everything is free, whatever you want. They couldn't believe it. So he said, we don't understand it. The women get onto the train and for some reason we weren't allowed off, and they're offering us sandwiches and these little bottles of cold milk. We're seeing more people out on the platform. For some reason, they weren't allowed off. I think it was just logistics, but they went on the train, which is something they didn't always do. So he said that he remembers the sandwiches were so good. And you're going to find out in a little bit why. He said, I found out later, it was pheasant, these delicious pheasant sandwiches with mayonnaise. I can still taste it. This is like 60 years later. He's saying, I can still taste it. Can you imagine that? Ladies coming onto your train and they're giving you pheasant sandwiches. He says, we were there for such a short time. The rest of the way, we kept thinking that maybe there would be other places like that. We wanted it to happen again, but it never did. Utah, Nevada, pretty desolate. And we'd stop and take on water and coal, but no one ever came out to meet us. We never ran into anything like that again. He said, I ended up in France and Germany and in an infantry division, field artillery, and all the way over there in Europe, across the ocean, you would hear about North Platte. Guys would mention it. Guys who hadn't met until they got to Europe. We were scraping the bottom of the barrel for food, eating field rations, and someone would say, I wish we had some of those sandwiches like we had in North Platte. You have to understand the memory of food was such a powerful thing over there. I would see fights break out over it. Someone would get carried away describing a wonderful meal they had before they went in the service, sort of needling the other guys. It was a form of mental torture. A guy would say, shut up, and the guy would keep twisting the knife about the great meal until the guy he was needling couldn't stand it any longer. I lost 60 pounds overseas. I weighed 180 going in. I came out weighing 114. My mother didn't even recognize me at first. You talk about the Jenny Craig diet? There's nothing like the World War II diet. Just that I don't know how those people kept it up for all those years, especially with all the shortages during the war. How did they do it? How did they do it? It's funny what you remember. When those ladies came on the tray, I remember that there was a real big napkin in the bottom of the basket, and the sandwiches were laid on top of the napkin. Why would you remember something like that? But he did. Never forgot it. And then he was asked, is there something you want me to tell them? And he said, just tell them that I still thank them from the bottom of my heart. And if they ever ask themselves whether what they did mattered, that the answer, to put it bluntly, is blank yes. Something as simple as a sandwich. They never forgot it. They never forgot the kindness. Another account I'd like to share with you is about Marine Sergeant Vincent Anderson. So he said, we pulled into North Platte for a really quick stop. And this lady came up to me. Is it your birthday? I said to her, no, it was not my birthday. And she said to me, I'm making it your birthday. And she handed me this beautiful home-baked cake. I was, and then he paused and struggled for the right word. He said, I was really melted. When I saw them doing, what I saw them doing in that place melted me. Such kindness. Such kindness. The first thing he knew that something good might be waiting him at the railroad station in Nebraska was during a trip from California. There were MPs, and they'd been through before. They're just like, all right, guys, you got something to look forward to here. And boy, were they right. All the guys on our train, they were all so excited. They just thought it was the greatest thing in the world, the way these people treated us. They couldn't believe it. Here were these older women, our mother's ages, and they made us feel like we were war heroes. None of us were combat veterans, but they made every one of us feel like heroes. You know, I think we can do that in a lot of ways with people around us all the time. And, you know, we never know what somebody's really dealing with, do we? You know, we don't know what struggles people have. I want to share the account of a soldier by the name of Phil Gardner. And Bob Green tracked him down in Scottsdale, Arizona. See, he wanted to be a pilot. And then he got an ear infection in both ears, and he lost his balance. And so he wasn't able to do anything that he wanted to do. And he was not in good shape when they rolled into North Platte. I'll share his words. And the first thing that he said, though, was, we had to win the war. So many things depended on us. There's so much pressure on that generation. And they were teenagers. So that was my introduction to North Platte. My goodness, here I was feeling the lowest of my life, feeling like a complete failure. And we got off the train, and those people made me feel pretty special. Just the feeling of being appreciated. They were so nice to me. They didn't know me. They didn't know anything about me. But I was in the uniform of my country, and that was good enough for them. One more thought. There are moments in a young man's life when it means a great deal if someone seems to appreciate him. You have no idea what the respect I was shown by those people at the North Platte Canteen did for me. I was feeling like I was no good to anybody, but those people made me feel like I mattered. It's not that hard to do it. It really isn't. Sometimes it's just the most simple things. The most simple things. One more soldier story, and then I'll move on from this. This is the account of Lawrence Jones. Bob Green found him in Nacogdoches, Texas. And here's some of what he had to say. As the train pulled out of North Platte, he couldn't stop thinking about what he'd just seen. Quote, those people spent all that time and donated all that money to get the sugar and all that stuff. They gave up their own ration stamp, something we'll never understand, or hopefully we'll never understand. They gave up their ration stamps. They were using their ration stamps for us. We all knew what that meant. I wrote home about it. He said he was a tail gunner, and he was used to kind of being alone and kind of almost being like a lone wolf back there. But he said overseas, as we began to talk about North Platte again, I heard Bob Green said, as we talked about North Platte, I heard something in his voice, the sound I'd come to recognize in many of these men's voices. Their voices would crack and they would cry. Decades later, I don't know, he said, crying. It's something that comes over you every once in a while. We'd heard that there were these women in this canteen who had lost their sons, and they would come down there to see us. I think that we really were all in it together. The women who were there, their personal lives, and the lives of our own mothers. So he thinks back on all of this, and I love this final observation from him. What happened to all those people? He wanted to know what happened to all those people that were in North Platte. He said, they were like our mothers and our sisters. And then he asks these questions. How did they know to do that for us? How did they know how much it would mean? You know, I don't know that they did. And I think many of the simple things that we do for people, we don't realize what it will really mean. But it can be a life changer. And that's one of my big takeaways. The only biblical text that comes to mind that's supportive of this is I think of the great parable that Jesus told that's called the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus never called him good. We call him good by comparison. But it's in Luke chapter 10, and I'll paraphrase. There's a man who's in real need. He was beat up. He's bloody on the side of the road. And two religious types come by. Like Jesus, he's picking his words with intent. But he says there's these two religious guys come by separately, and they pass by on the other side of the road. They saw the need, and they did nothing. I'm sure they were busy. I'm sure they had important things to do, maybe even religious things to do. But then a despised Samaritan comes along. And he has compassion. And let me tell you something about compassion. Compassion always leads to action. It's not just a bleeding heart. It's not just like, oh man, that's terrible and I feel bad for that person. No, it does something for that person. Bob Goff, I so appreciate his writings. He said when he first came to Christ, he would go to a lot of Bible studies. 3 or 4 a week, he just figured that was a thing to do. And he has some humorous things to say about just, if you've been to enough Bible studies, he has some good insights. But he said, me and my friends, we continued to study the Bible, but we started to do Bible doings. Not studies. Whatever the Bible said, just do it. See, that's what the Good Samaritan did. He saw the need and he did something about it. Do you know what? Any religion or spirituality that doesn't cause us to love other people, it's a counterfeit. You can read the New Covenant from beginning to end and you'll come to the same conclusion. If it doesn't result in love, it ain't the gospel. It might be religion. It might be some form of spirituality. But it ain't the gospel. When Jesus was done, he asked some questions. And then Jesus preached a really good 5-word sermon. Go and do the same. Go and do the same. Don't read about it. Don't study about it. Don't get a study manual about the parable of the Samaritan. Just go and do it. Yeah, I like that. Something that I didn't tell you, I held back in the story till now. Do you know how long most of those trains were at North we're in North Platte. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And these men, decades later, were still brought to tears. They were given a simple home-cooked meal, but it was made with love. 10 minutes. Folks, we can make 10 minutes count. How many times did you say, oh, it's just 10 minutes? It's just 10 minutes, you know, I'll just, you know, waste a little time on the internet. An hour and a half later, you're just like, whoa, what happened to the 10 minutes? We can make 10 minutes count. I go back to that question that somebody asked on the Zoom study this past week. We'll just call him JW. He knows exactly who he is. Half of you do as well. You can text. You can call. You can write notes to people. You can do drive-bys. There's all kinds of stuff that we can do. Think outside the box. I don't want to give away some ideas, but Heidi met with Becca today, and it's an idea that we stole from Heidi's sister out in Washington State. I'm not going to say what it is. You know what? Compliment people. You know, like, again, I go back to David. Just the fact that, like, I think I made his day just by making a silly little video. I want to brag on a friend of mine. Her name's Karen Hoffman. She passed away a few years ago. She used to go with me to the nursing home every week, and it was really encouraging to have her there with me. And I remember when she went in the hospital, and I visited her, and she died very quickly of cancer within really a matter of weeks. But when I visited her in the hospital, you know what she said to me? She said, I want to get out of here. Why? Because the places I volunteer, I want to get back to the Grove. I want to get back to Love's Christian Clearinghouse. I want to get back to the animal shelter that I volunteer at. Man, volunteering is where it's at. It's not the stuff that we have to do. It's the stuff that we want to do for somebody else. And when it's motivated by love, oh my goodness. And it's not money. When you're not paid for something, it makes a big difference. It does. We all know that. So, there's a woman. She was a teenager at the time. And, you know, she realized that these soldiers that were coming through, these men and women, she realized a lot of them wouldn't be coming back through North Platte. She realized a lot of them wouldn't be coming back alive. And here's what she had to say. She said, you never really wiped away the thought of the boys. You could see them climbing off the trains and then filing back on. They knew not how many days they had left or where they were going. They looked so young. They were so young. But they never said anything about it. It went so fast at the canteen. 3,600 people came through every day, and they fed them all. And they knew that the train was pulling out shortly, so it all just went by really quickly. She was just a teenage girl, but I loved what she says here. She said, I would pray for all of them. I would watch them get onto their train, and I would ask the Lord to bless and keep them. I wanted to keep smiling in case any of them looked back, but I was praying for them with my eyes wide open. Prayer makes a difference. You know, when you touch someone, there's gratitude. And so just a couple other expressions of gratitude. Actually, I'm just going to share one that's written by a woman whose son had come through. Don't even have the name. I wish it was possible for me to step into the same place that my darling boy was invited and treated so kind, so I could tell you how much I, as well as he, appreciated it. Words cannot express my gratitude to you. I had a letter from him yesterday, and he told me of the great work you were doing. He said it was the first nice thing that had been done for them. He said, Mother, you don't know what it means to a fellow so far away from home. Heaven bless you for what you did for my boy and every other mother's boy. I am a widow, and my right hand is crippled. You can see that by my writing. But through the help of God, I'm trying to do all I can. Again, I thank you for what you are doing. I will always remember you when I approach the throne of grace. Overflowing into gratitude towards God. Finally, I want to talk a little bit about perseverance. These folks persevered. They started with Ray Wilson's dream, and it went on for 6 million people that they blessed. And that blessing still today is affecting lives. Some of you might have seen it on Facebook. I put a song out by Mark Knopfler. It's called Piper to the End. It's a beautiful tribute to his uncle Freddie, who was a piper in World War II for Britain. He didn't come out alive. And it was in researching the song that I realized something that really struck me as a baby boomer, that by definition, we as baby boomers, all born after the war, almost to a person, I understand there could be an odd exception. Our dads all came home. It was our uncles, our aunts, and their friends that didn't. What a blessing that we came through all that and that we live because of the sacrifice that others have made. On August 15th, 1945, newspapers across the United States and around the world announced that the war ended. There was great celebration in North Platte. And who would have blamed them if they celebrated and they shuttered down the canteen? But they didn't. They made a resolution then that they would continue up to 10 months. As it was, they continued, I believe, somewhere in the area of 8 months, 7.5 months. Folks, I want to encourage you to finish well. I realize most of you out there are probably baby boomers. We see some of the numbers of people that are watching. It means that you're somewhere around my age, which is a very young 60, right? But no matter how you slice it, I'm either in late fall or early winter. I sure hope I'm not in spring because I don't want to live on this planet to be 150. We want to finish well. And when I think of those folks at the canteen, man, did they finish well. They served those soldiers that were coming home to the very end. I want to share one final excerpt from the book. The Ladies Guild of St. John's Lutheran Gothenburg was the main group that volunteered on the final day. The final day was April 1st, 1946. And the last train had come through, but they were surprised. And so the last soldier to enter and then leave the canteen, his name was Charles Plander of Marshalltown, Iowa. He and 11 other servicemen had arrived on a train that was making the customary brief stop, but they didn't realize the canteen had just closed for good. But they encountered three volunteers doing last-minute cleanup. They were Mrs. Hutchins, Mrs. Need, and Mrs. Traub. And they said, don't feel bad about closing the canteen. You've earned enough points for your honorable discharge. And those three women, with their work completed, were going to sit down and enjoy a pot of coffee. But you know what they did? They gave it to those soldiers instead. Good to the last drop. Finish well. Persevere. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I think of what Paul wrote to Timothy, that our hearts would be directed to your love, Father, and the perseverance of Christ. Father, there are those out there today that really need your perseverance. This season that we're going through, it's wearing on a lot of people. Father, may our hearts be filled with your love and also your perseverance, not just that we get through, but we pull somebody else through, that we pull somebody else up. And Lord, you know, I love the fact that these women signed on in the beginning. They had no idea how long it was going to be. That's the kind of commitment you're looking from us, that we would decide that we're going to follow you, knowing that it's an open-ended thing. Bless your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take these hands and lift them up, for I have not the strength to praise you near enough. See, I have nothing, I have nothing without you. Take my voice, pour it out, let it sing the songs of mercy I have found. For I have nothing, I have nothing without you. All my soul needs see that I have nothing without you. Take my body and build it up. May it be broken as an offering of love. For I have nothing, I have nothing without you. All my soul needs is all your love to cover me, so all the world will see that I have nothing without you. And all my soul needs is all your love to cover me, so all the world will see that I have nothing without you. Take my time here on this earth and let it glorify all that you are worth. For I am nothing, I am nothing without you.
Once again, I want to sincerely thank you for joining us, especially if you're still watching now. It means you really joined us today. I seriously appreciate wish I could welcome you literally into my home. I want to close with the verse I just alluded to, and I think I might have said it was Timothy, but Paul wrote it to the church at Thessalonica. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.